You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Thank you, Mr. Mathers. Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06. It is a Tuesday morning. It's November 11th, 2025. Another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota. From wherever you're spending your Tuesday morning, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or watching us on social media, catching us later by podcast. Appreciate you getting your day going right here. I got a question for you. Wait, this question's for Parker Olson, who's also producing things here, so we may as well make it fully participatory. Did you take my advice last night and give yourself a good night's sleep? Or did you still think the Packers were going to figure out how to have a working offense later in the game? Parker Olson, how do you plead?
Minus about a minute and a half, guilty.
It took a minute and a half till you thought, okay, that's it, it's not happening? Okay.
It was the last minute and a half of that game. I was in. Yeah.
Look, I know the team found its groove against Pittsburgh a couple of weeks back after I went to bed. But since then, there have been injuries and, frankly, a broken record kind of playbook that has led this offense into a very dark place. Listen to how Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette put it in the morning papers. On a night the defense mostly played at an elite level, the Green Bay Packers offense finds itself in full crisis mode after being undressed in front of a national audience against the Philadelphia Eagles. The Packers could hardly muster a drive. A drive, I add for emphasis. Yeah. The Packers could hardly muster a drive in a 10-7 loss against a Philadelphia defense that frequently appeared to be playing with 15 players on the field despite having only the required 11. Yep. So some of us called it a night a little bit earlier, and I hope all the rest of you find time to get a nap a little later today. But I thought that was perfect because, yeah, there were times of like their defense was just swarming. Ours wasn't bad either, but that offense, holy cow.
Yes, the defenses were very good last night. I think that there has to be something said, though, about the Green Bay play calling. I have largely been against the Matt LaFleur hate train. I have been fairly okay with him. But last night was just, and I get his hands are tied because of the offensive line isn't very healthy and their receivers are dropping like flies.
Right.
But my God, it was just so stupid. And to run out of shotgun on 4th and 1, Pat, I know.
Against the team that has taught you how to do it, this little thing called the tush push. I mean, you just power ahead, and they keep trying to go to Jacobs, and he's a workhorse, but, you know, he's not Barry Sanders. Okay?
No. And frankly, it really bothers me, too, because obviously the Packers absolutely wasted an incredible performance by their defense last night.
Yep.
But they also, and I don't think that anyone's going to really pay any attention to this, that might have been the cleanest special teams game the Packers have had that I can remember.
True.
There were so few. I don't remember any penalties, maybe one on special teams for the Packers. And yet, I'm still going to harp on the fire Rich Bisaccia train, though. Okay. Because for some reason, we still have McManus kicking when clearly Haversick is A, healthy, and B, has a better leg.
Yeah.
Why did you passed up on 2 long field goals? Because
Tony puts it very well on YouTube. Just an immensely frustrating game. It was. It was just. And we've been talking about it for the past week. Like, is this how the whole season's going to go? And clearly, based on this game, it is. Now, don't get me wrong. As a baseball fan, I like a good pitcher's duel.
Some people
do not like pitcher's duels. I do if they're both really good. It's frustrating to not see your hitters be able to hit, but at least if you know your pitcher's in the groove, you've always got a chance. And yeah, to that point, theoretically, the Packers offense would always have had a chance in this pitcher's duel of two great defenses. But you just saw they did not. They had little league hitters in there last night, it felt like. Roger puts on Facebook something I can't really say on the radio, but in Facebook he says, pardon my language, but Matt LaFleur's butt is definitely on the hot seat right now. There was one point to your frustration with LaFleur as a play caller where the guys up in the booth, what's their faces, Aikman and Buck, they were noting, and the camera went back to it a couple of times, while Green Bay was on defense, LaFleur was at a desk. He's at a desk with his little laptop hunched over it like your fifth grader trying to do their homework before the school bus comes. And it's like, don't you have somebody that can do this? But no, you're the play caller. So you're over there doing your homework behind the bench while your defense is out there. It was not a good look.
No, I believe Cheesehead TV, I think, tweeted that picture and said that this is the equivalent of doing scratch-offs.
He's hoping to get lucky.
Rolling the dice, trying to find something, because God knows he can't find it right now.
It was just not working, and we got till Sunday noon to figure it out. And here's the thing. We're going up against the New York Giants, going out to the Meadowlands there, and the Giants just fired their head coach. So this will be the Giants' first game with an interim coach. Next Sunday, it's a noon game, and so I can already tell you that the Civic Media Radio Network will have coverage starting at 9 a.m. Anyway, be looking for that. So we've got some time, but you're not going to get people that healthy that quickly. You got to come up with some better plays and things like that. All right, well, coming up in 10 minutes, I'm going to have some thoughts on Veterans Day today because it is Veterans Day, and again, a happy Veterans Day, and our deepest thanks and gratitude to everybody who has served our country, and it's got to be more than that, and I'll talk about that in just a little bit. First, a reminder, you can reach us with your thoughts about the Packers or about Veterans Day or about the potential end to a government shutdown that I'll also be talking about in just a bit, or Donald Trump pardoning all of the co-conspirators who engaged in criminal acts, whether they wanted to or knew it or not, when it came to overturning the 2020 presidential election, or anything else on your mind. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can also use that Civic Media app to call us, to send us a text message, to record a little voice note that we might play, or put something in the comment sections of Facebook or YouTube where we stream the video of this show. Well, the audio too, but I mean, you can actually see us doing the show at the Up North News Facebook and YouTube pages and the Civic Media Facebook and YouTube pages. Tony asks, rightly so, will the receivers actually catch the ball against the Giants? I mean, it's a fair question, and I get it's an offensive line issue. It's a Jordan Love decision-making issue and much more. So we'll talk about that a little bit throughout the course of these 3 hours here. But we also have a bit of a focus on where Democrats go from here after the really good news of the election last week and the really less good news that a handful of Democrats were willing to work with Republicans to end the government shutdown. And I'm not going to, much like Parker talks about not wanting to jump right on board the train to fire LaFleur, I'm not jumping right on the train to say that this was not the worst case scenario. It's not a great look when Democrats are not united. You know, Republicans would say the same thing. It's not a great look. But if you're looking at it from a purely politically strategic point of view, you always knew going into this that you were up against people in the Republican Party who literally do not care if families go hungry. Literally do not care that you now have families, especially seniors, paying tens of thousands of dollars more per year for health insurance. And so they're now going to go uninsured. I promise you, they do not care. And there were quite a few of them who were never, ever going to give in. And they see a government shutdown as a net positive for them. It becomes this self-fulfilling prophecy that government doesn't work whenever they break it. and cause it to shut down. The only way this was going to work was if public pressure on Republicans was so great that they finally said, this isn't working, the people are leaving us. And the people were leaving. It was shown at the ballot box last week. And yet enough Democrats said, well, but we don't want the airports to be all, you know, blocked during the holidays. They're gonna blame Democrats. No, they would have blamed Republicans if it would have kept going. But the question is, how much longer could you hold out? How much longer could you, frankly, sacrifice to prevent those skyrocketing health insurance costs? Well, the Senate is taking a series of votes now to get it all done, and then they're going to punt it over to the House. And again, keep in mind that all Democrats really got, you know, the small group of Democrats that forced this issue, all they got was a promise by the Senate Republican leader to hold a vote sometime soon here, a standalone vote on bringing back the premium subsidies that made health insurance affordable under the Affordable Care Act. The House has not promised that in any way, shape, or form. And up until yesterday, Speaker Mike Johnson was saying, no, we're not going to have a vote at all. Yesterday, he said, well, we'll see. We're going to have a very deliberative process, he said, along those lines. So in that sense, in the sense of the health insurance cost going up, it really was a case of, you know, Charlie Brown going to kick the football and Lucy pulling it away. Those health insurance prices are going to go up. I mean, even if Senate Republicans finally grow a conscience and say, you know what, we are going to bring back the premium subsidies, maybe just not to the full extent. And maybe House Republicans do the same, saying, wow, we got our butts handed to us in the election. We'd better not take these premium supports down to zero. Let's come up with a number. You know, the old-fashioned way, how politicians used to do these things. They'd negotiate and find a level that works for most people. Even if all those things happen, the window is open right now for health insurance. People are facing prices right now, and they're making decisions not to be covered right now based on what the current prices are, and they are much higher than they were before. To which, you know, Ron Johnson and all the others go, oh, you see, that's just proof that the Affordable Care Act wasn't working. No, it's proof the Affordable Care Act was working. That when our tax dollars are actually pooled together to help everybody afford health insurance, it helps everybody. And instead, they're still going with the pre-Obamacare lines about, well, we just need high-risk insurance pools, which was taking us to bankruptcy faster than anything else in this country, besides tax breaks for the very rich. They've learned nothing. And the thing that just still gets to me is after 15 years, they still have nothing in terms of a replacement, in terms of what are you going to do for people who are suffering from expensive health care? And you got concepts of a plan from the candidate for president, which was really telling. But the guy who had concepts of a plan for health care, who tried to overturn an election, who admitted he torpedoed bipartisan immigration reform, somehow got elected anyway, because I guess some people didn't like the way Kamala Harris laughed or something like that. And so we have all these challenges in front of us. And so we'll be talking in our 8 o'clock hour with Ruth Conniff of the Wisconsin Examiner, as well as in our 7 o'clock hour, candidate for Congress Fred Clark, on where Democrats go from here. Some thoughts on Veterans Day coming up from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Tomorrow on the program, we will talk to Ellie Bordeaux from Up North News, who puts together our morning newsletter. Sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. We'll talk to Earl Ingram as well from Civic Media's What's Going On with Earl Ingram podcast and get his view of things from Milwaukee. That's all coming up tomorrow here on the program. All this talk about the Packers, I should note that the Bucks were winners last night. Giannis scored 15 of his 30 points in the fourth quarter, and Ryan Rollins put Milwaukee up for good with a layup with 18 seconds left. The Bucks rallied from a 13-point deficit to beat the Dallas Mavericks 116-114. Coming up next, Parker, big news. The Bucks are playing Charlotte. They're playing Wednesday at Charlotte, and then Friday they play Charlotte again here at home in the next round of the NBA Cup. I'm really trying to gin up excitement for this, and it's really not working.
Yeah, no, it's not the most exciting thing in the world.
The cup, the subtitle of which is, "Come on, guys! I know it's the regular season, but you got to try anyway." But that was too long to fit on a banner, right?
I was told that those stats don't matter as well. Like, they don't contribute to their season stats for the players, which is really insanely crazy. Like, that's so stupid.
Okay, I'm not going to get used to this thing.
No one is.
Okay, it remains what it has been from the beginning, a source of mockery. And we're good with that at this program, as you know. Question for you. Do you know someone who served our country in the military? Maybe you know a lot of someones who served our nation. This is our day to remind them of our gratitude. There are around 16 million American veterans all around us. That's about 6% of the adult population. There were nearly 25 million veterans about 20 years ago. But as our World War II and Vietnam veterans depart with honors, the majority of America's living veterans are now those who served in the Gulf War, in Afghanistan, and Iraq. And let this day not be one of performative gestures and cliches. This day deserves meaning. As the son of a soldier, I know that the sense of service lasts a lifetime. And frankly, so do our responsibilities. As our veterans transition to new careers, deal with physical and mental health issues, and move into senior years that deserve care and respect. Now, sadly, some of the people who wave the flag most vehemently, especially around elections, and cry out to support our troops seem to be the ones most likely to be AWOL when it comes time to pony up and keep our promises to our veterans. Not that this day is supposed to dwell on the political, but frankly, it shouldn't be political that we make sure to care for our veterans. There are some people who are very good at starting wars and sending our young men and women into harm's way, and then they ghost veterans when they're most in need and when they have earned a lifetime of service from us. So, veterans, thank you, but more than our thanks, we owe you a measure of respect that ebbs and flows more often than it should. I hope that we can rededicate ourselves to caring for our veterans at a level that displays true patriotism. They've served us, and we note every November 11th that now it's our turn. But instead, what we're facing in the nation's capital is a government shutdown, a government that has put big cuts into the VA health system, and then just frankly shut everything down. Not that this is the world's biggest surprise, because again, you know, the record is clear on what this president has stood for and the party now that supports him all the way. They are all in, which makes you wonder, whatever happened to the party that loved talking about how it stood for law and order? But there hasn't been a peep of protest from Republicans about President Trump issuing pardons to the co-conspirators of his attempted coup in 2020. And they include several figures who played a role in Wisconsin's fake electors scheme. I would highly recommend Molly Beck's article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel to tell you more, including about the Republicans from Wisconsin who were pardoned after signing paperwork that falsely claimed that they were the electors for Trump and that Trump won Wisconsin, including former state Republican Party chair Andrew Hitt and Bob Spindell, who is remarkably still sitting on the state elections board after being a fake elector as part of a conspiracy to overturn an election. Wisconsin attorneys Kenneth Chesbrough and Jim Troupas is a former Dane County judge, represented Donald Trump's campaign in the effort to get votes thrown out, get legally cast Wisconsin votes thrown out based on imaginary claims that were drawn up as part of a larger, more complex plot to stay in power despite what the voters said. That, boys and girls, is an attempted coup, and it is crazy that people keep trying to pretend that it wasn't. Now, the pardons that Trump issued to all of these folks and many more yesterday, those pardons only apply to federal prosecution. There are no federal investigations going on right now, of course, because voters put the guy who tried to overthrow an election back into power. Fortunately, our system of democracy, while limping along, does have a mechanism for states to seek justice, and that's what's happening here, very, very slowly. Chesbro and Troupas and former Trump aide Mike Roman are all on the pardon list, but they all face 11 felony charges in Wisconsin related to the plan as well. Reaction came from Law Forward President Jeff Mandel. That's the group that brought a civil lawsuit against the fake electors in Wisconsin. And Jeff Mandel said the pardon sent, quote, an unmistakable message that this White House disdains democracy and will assist in word and in deed any effort, no matter how extreme and outrageous, to cling to power regardless of election results. And that's the key word there, regardless of election results. Not respecting the will of the voters is at the very heart of what people would call law and order. But again, not a peep of protest. In fact, nothing but loud endorsements from people like Ron Johnson, who are some of the most vocal at spreading falsehoods about the election. Thankfully, the cases still move forward at the state. I just hope we pick up the pace real soon. I have to change my tune on a tune called Vehicle. That's part of today's history lesson coming up after this. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's time once again for today's history lesson on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
To all who come to this happy place, welcome.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
It's one small step for man.
Well, I'm not a crook.
Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
You know, this depression is going to be so great. We'll be the ones eating the cats and the dogs. That's going to be fun.
Once again, it is time to take another revealing peek back into history.
And we are starting today's history lesson with a little ditty from 1970 and the Ides of March. All right, we need to talk about this song because Vehicle was you know, very popular song. Love the song, love the horn sections, yeah. Love the horns, yeah. Loved it. At some point you go, wait a minute, listen to those lyrics. They sound a little creepy here.
Well, one of those.
Happy birthday to Jim Peterik, who's 75 years old today. Now, in a more modern time, well, not modern anymore, but he co-founded the rock band Survivor, which gave us Eye of the Tiger from the Rocky movies. Yeah. But first, he was a vocalist and guitarist in the Ides of March. And it turns out, as I'm putting this together, Jim Peterik was talking about the origin of the song. And it's not what I thought. It turns out it was basically what you would call an early diss track. Here's what he said to the Wall Street Journal. At the time, I was madly in love with this girl named Karen. I had a souped-up 1964 Plymouth Valiant, and she was always asking for rides. I drove her to modeling school. I was hoping flames would ignite, but they didn't. I came home one day dejected and thought, all I am is her vehicle. And I thought, wow, vehicle. I came up with a song, taught it to the band. The next thing I knew, we were recording in a CBS studio. And at the time, Vehicle became the fastest-selling single in Warner Brothers record history at that time. So it was all him mocking the fact that he was nothing but a vehicle, doing all these sweet things for one particular girl who was not appreciating him.
This is a great... I didn't realize this was a rejected love song.
I did not either.
Wonderful. So
I also did not, frankly, appreciate the very varied career of Jim Peterik, who, again, is 75 today. He co-formed Survivor and had several hits for them. He also wrote several hits for 38 Special, like Rockin' Into the Night, Hold On Loosely, and Caught Up in You. He's written songs for Lynyrd Skynyrd, Cheap Trick, Sammy Hagar, and more. And that's all for Jim Peterick, 75 years old today. And now I can go back to liking vehicle once again, now that I've taken the creepiness out of it. All right, speaking of vehicles on this Veterans Day, let's give it up for the Jeep, because it was on this day in 1940, the Willys Car Manufacturing Company. There are a lot of car manufacturing companies that we don't remember anymore. They came and they went, and Willys was one of them. And they submitted a working prototype to the Army on this day in 1940 for a general-purpose military vehicle that would later become universally known as the Jeep. So happy birthday to the Jeep, which is now 85 years old today. Happy birthday to Marshall Crenshaw. He is 72 years old and had this hit in 1982. Kind of a like a Buddy Holly, you know, vibe to it, kind of, or maybe a little Elvis Costello early on. Later on, he wrote a song for the Gin Blossoms in 1995, Till I Hear It From You, that song from 95. And by the way, in terms of comparing Marshall Crenshaw to Buddy Holly, that was a good comparison. Marshall Crenshaw portrayed Buddy Holly in the 1987 film La Bamba, yeah, and performed one of his songs in the movie. Well, so Marshall Crenshaw is 72 today. A legendary music producer, Mutt Lange, is 77 years old today. Also on the birthday list, we've got Stanley Tucci, who is 65 today. Stanley Tucci, I mean, say what you will about his acting and directing and all that, I just want him to go back and make more travel shows about eating his way through Italy. He's done two different series now on basically travel series focused on food in Italy, and I can't get enough of it. I could watch that daily. Stanley, if you're listening, find the people who can just send you everywhere new in Italy, somewhere every day, and eat stuff. I'll watch it.
Travel food shows, I think, are just an underappreciated art.
Oh, I mean, Anthony Bourdain, of course, you know, is the patron saint of all of it. But the travel food shows are just a gift from God sometimes, honestly. Actress Demi Moore is 63 years old today. Actor Leonardo DiCaprio turns 51 today. I wonder if, does that mean he finally has to raise the age at which he will date women?
No, never going to happen.
Still,
he's got his standard, Pat. Nope.
In the creepy territory of the age range there.
It's been creepy.
Musician John Batiste is 39 years old today. Okay, here is, on this day in 1958, a record made in a studio on this day by Hank Ballard and the Midnighters. Give a listen. This is Hank Ballard and the Midnighters recording The Twist on this day in 1958. A couple years later, a fellow named Chubby Checker would come along and really take it places. And the thing is, it doesn't sound that different. It's not like, oh, he put an entirely new spin, pun intended, on The Twist. He just went places. And Chubby Checker, last weekend, inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame pretty much based on one song and its many variations thereof.
I feel like we get a lot of versions of that for Chubby Checker. Like, it seems like he just continually has these kinds of situations.
Hey, you know what? If life is going to hand you luck, take the luck.
Oh, yeah,
Take the good stuff, you know? Tom Jones, on this day in 1964, hopped into a recording studio and gave us what you would definitely call Tom Jones's signature number. Or if you just watch The Fresh Prince, you're doing the Carlton dance right now. It's not unusual to be loved by anyone. On this day in 1926, the United States numbered highway system was established. Wisconsin was was the first state to number its highways, which were, you know, modified cow paths, basically. But for those new automobiles, they needed to know where they were going. By the way, in starting the numbered highway system on this day in 1926, it was also the day that we officially designated Route 66 from Chicago to Santa Monica, California, spanning 2,448 miles. And that is in a bit of a personal thing. One of my regrets, one of the things I really wanted to do with my dad before he passed was I wanted to do a Route 66 thing. Maybe not the whole thing, but a big chunk of it, because he was living in Arizona at the time. And I think that would have been really great if we hadn't, you know, lost them too soon. And I still wouldn't mind doing that at some point. You know, Route 66 hasn't been Route 66 in a long, long time, but a lot of the tourist sites are still there. And I think that would be really cool. Another interesting point about the numbered highway system that I don't know that we've talked about on this program, but the Yellowstone Trail. Before the numbers, you know, there were roads that were just kind of named, and there was this Yellowstone Trail that helped take people from the eastern parts of the country out to the brand new Yellowstone National Park. And to get there, you just had to keep following the roads that had rocks that were painted yellow. And about 25 years ago, as a reporter, I covered this effort to kind of, you know, resurrect the Yellowstone Trail.
Yeah.
And so to this day, around this part of the state, and I'm sure other parts of the state as well, if you see like big rocks that are painted yellow with a black arrow pointing in you know, a direction,
yeah,
and you go, what the heck is that? That's the Yellowstone Trail. Those were the literal highway signs of their day before you had numbered roads and maps.
Oh, my God. Is that the origin of the yellow brick road?
No, but that's not a bad thought. Yeah, absolutely.
That's hilarious. A good way to put it.
Yeah.
That's so simplistic. I love it.
All right. Here's a case of how was this song a hit? And I don't mean the one you're going to hear first. First, of course, is Donna Summer. This is her disco version of MacArthur Park, which went to number one this day in 1978. It's got a good groove, but I'd never quite understood the lyrics to MacArthur Park and leaving a cake out in the rain. So imagine my surprise when I find out that 10 years earlier in 1968, this song went to number two on the charts with this version by actor Richard Harris. I honestly had to check a couple of times to make sure it wasn't like, am I getting punked? No, it just resonated with listeners of the radio in 1968. And there's the first version of MacArthur Park, which the songwriter said was about a girl dumping him. They used to go to MacArthur Park in New York City, or was it Los Angeles. And he was just describing all the things in the park, including one time somebody left a cake out in the rain.
What a waste.
I know.
Why would you do that to a kid?
On this day in 1620, the Pilgrims of the Mayflower made their first landing in America at Provincetown Harbor in Massachusetts. It seems like you can't go a week without a Taylor Swift mention in the history lesson. It was on this day in 2008 she released her second studio album, Fearless. Love Story was on there, of course, along with the title track and 15 and You Belong With Me. It would go on to win a truckload of honors, including the Grammy for Album of the Year. All right, let's see. This is the anniversary of the birth of William Proxmire 110 years ago in 1915. He passed away in 2005. The former senator from Wisconsin served longer than anybody else in this state, from 1957 to 1989. Prior to that, he served in the state assembly. He had a perfect attendance record, and he continued that in the U.S. Senate as well, a perfect attendance record. He won that seat in August of 1957 after the death of Joseph McCarthy. Proxmire did not pay the customary tribute to his predecessor and instead stated that McCarthy was, quote, a disgrace to Wisconsin, to the Senate, and to America. And frankly, we've needed more of that candor about certain people in this country. So again, William Proxmire, born this day in 1915. This day, of course, is all about the, we say it's Veterans Day, but it was originally called Armistice Day to mark the armistice, the peace deal that was signed by the Allies and Germany, ending what we now know as World War I. On this day in 1918, with hostilities coming to an end at the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. And then in an unfortunate weather tragedy, and we've talked already about different deadly storms in November, and we're now at the point where we're getting close to running out of survivors from the Armistice Day blizzard. But it was on this day in 1940 that at least 150 people died across the Midwest and the Great Lakes. Duck hunters throughout Minnesota, Wisconsin, and beyond were frozen in a day that had started in the 60s. But then two massive systems, one of Arctic air and one from moist air from the south, converged into a storm that blew so hard, the level of Lake Michigan in Chicago was 4 feet lower, and it was 4 feet higher over on the Michigan shore, that left so many people unprepared for what was to follow for the Armistice Day blizzard this day in 1940. So there's some of today's history lesson for you. And again, we always appreciate your ideas. People are putting some notes on Facebook and YouTube about either their comments on the anniversaries or other dates that they'd like to suggest, other birthdays. We're always open to those as well. So feel free to touch base. Still ahead, we're going to be talking to Fred Clark, a congressional candidate in the 7th District here up north, about the results from last week's election and whether it gives him hope that Democrats can recapture the 7th Congressional District seat in northern Wisconsin for the first time in 16 years. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Civic is the phone number here, 855-752-4842, or send a text message, use the Civic Media app to send us a voice note, or put something in the comment sections. On the text line, from Ollie in the North Woods, says, on this Veterans Day, we should open our hearts and reach out to shake the hands of the veterans who have served and are currently serving our country and keeping us safe. And to the National Guard, who, because of their love for country and oath to the Constitution, are in many of our cities trying to keep the peace when they would rather be home with their families. Thank you for your service. And then a series of heart and flag and handshake emojis from Ollie in the North Woods. Thank you, Ollie, very much for putting that on the text line here. Plenty of other love for our veterans on there as well. Rebecca saying yay to the veterans on there. Alicia writes on YouTube, free meals and small services one day a year from private companies doesn't cut it. We were federal employees, and the federal government needs to pony up. Amen to that as well. And then some other folks, again, wishing our veterans a happy Veterans Day. Let's see what's on the National Day calendar. Parker Olson, what you got?
It is Education Day, Pat. National Education Day.
National Education Day, not to be confused with like National Teachers Day or something like this. So today is the day to go get an education.
Yes.
All right. I think it's an important thing.
I would appreciate it if more people were educated.
All right. What else do we have on this Tuesday?
We have also got, it is Sunday.
No, it's Tuesday.
No, it's Sunday Day, Pat.
Sunday Day?
Sunday Day, yes.
National Sunday Day.
Yes. Ice cream Sunday.
All right. Well, I'll play along. Favorite Sunday. Go.
I like turtle. Give me some pecans in there.
I like turtle. hot fudge and bananas. Love a good hot fudge Sunday with some bananas on there. Yeah.
Okay. I get behind that.
All right. Sure. What else you got out there? Best Sunday. Where would you get, you know, and if you want, where would you get it from? I know the go-to for many folks is Culver's these days, but where else would you get your son? Do you have a local ice cream joint like Olson's here in Chippewa Falls? Would love to hear about that as well. It feels a little weird to do that when the temperature is, what, 29 degrees here right now. I'm not sure why it's Sunday day in the middle of November, but be that as it may. What do we have in entertainment news to share?
We have got AC/DC is going to be performing at Camp Randall next year. What is it? July 19th as part of their Power Up Tour. And tickets just went on sale, I think, on Friday of last week. So you've got a chance. Go get them.
Can I just say I'm now at that age where I'm kind of, you know, you reap what you sow. And for years and years, I'd hear a story like this and I'd go, oh, are they coming out on their walkers and their wheelchairs because they're so old? Or they're still doing. And now, of course, who's you're the guy that saw Chicago at Summerfest and was so impressed that all these people pushing 80 are still as good as they were, you know, as ever. And you've got, you know, Springsteen and the Rolling Stones and all these guys are still doing it. So I'm not going to throw stones at AC/DC or any of the other aging rockers who can still draw a crowd. So if you can sell the tickets, come on down. If you want to see him, go for it.
I hope that those tickets get a little cheaper as they get older, though.
They do not. The only way that the tickets get cheaper is if they're on, say, the county fair circuit. And so, like, last year, it was a Journey that was at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair here in Chippewa Falls.
Yeah.
Again, a little older, but the tickets are a lot cheaper than they were once upon a time. So just keep an eye out for all the various county fair performances that come up every summer. What else we got?
Grammy nominations are out, I believe, yesterday or today they came out. Kendrick Lamar is kind of leading the way. He's got 9 nominations. Everyone's favorite will be Super Bowl halftime performer, Bad Bunny, has become the first Spanish artist with nominations in Best Album, Best Record, and Best Song categories all in the same year. First Spanish artist to ever do that. So interesting to him.
Okay. Here's the thing, though. And again, the music charts and all of that, the Grammys and what qualifies for what. Some days it kind of throws me. Like this morning when I heard the story that Michael Jackson was back on the Billboard Hot 100, the singles chart. He was in the top 10. Because again, the way the charts are measured now, it's not just, you know, radio play or, you know, people going to record stores, but you throw that streaming element into it.
Sure.
And so many people were streaming Thriller during Halloween that technically Thriller was one of the top 10 songs in the country last week.
Just you wait until it's Mariah Carey.
Oh, that's right. That's right. And so, again, Thriller is a 1982 classic. According to Variety, it amassed 14 million streams and a radio airplay audience of 9 million. It makes Michael Jackson the first artist ever to achieve top 10 hits in 6 different decades.
Oh my God.
I know. In doing so, he surpasses somebody who held a top 10 hit across 5 decades. You'll never guess it because it was Andy Williams who did that.
Pardon my youth, but who?
Who? See? Exactly. And unfortunately, I just don't have time to explain Andy Williams. You've heard me talk about Pat Boone a million times. Kind of in that range, of popular music or what was popular music back then. Let's see. Oh, you have a Michael Jackson note here in your entertainment notes.
Well, of course. The Michael, which is the Michael Jackson biopic that's coming out, just released a trailer. It features his actual nephew, Jafar Jackson, as the actor who depicts Michael Jackson.
Okay.
It'll be kind of interesting to see how they go about that movie, depicting his life. It sounds like they're going to leave out the legal troubles that were later on in his life.
Well, you're really kind of taking the bio out of biopic then, I guess. But all right, be that as it may. All right, coming up after the news, we're going to spend some time with guests over the next couple of hours talking about the direction of the party. We're going to start with former Bill Clinton speechwriter Paul Glastras, who's now an editor at Washington Monthly. And then in our 8 o'clock hour, or I'm sorry, at 7:30, we will be talking to Fred Clark, candidate for Congress, and then Ruth Conniff from the Wisconsin Examiner, coming up in our 8 o'clock hour. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.